chapter 4. Let's go there as we talk this last week about mission. And I'm going to start in verse 8. And there's a couple, I'm just going to read mainly from the New International Version, but there's a couple of verses I will read a little bit from the Message. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 23 is the whole text here. But I'm going to focus on a couple of verses mainly. Verse 8 starts out and says, "Finally, brothers," and I'll add sisters, he's talking to the church, the family of God, "whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And then Paul begins to write to the church, and he says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you didn't have opportunity to show it. I'm not saying it because I'm in need, because I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what might be credited to you, to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent me. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." I want to talk very simply and fairly quickly about two things. We've focused on it this whole month, and I'm going to encapsulate it as simply as I can this morning, and this is why we're going to end it with just this expo. I want to just focus on two themes: mission-minded living and mission-minded giving. Mission-minded living and mission-minded giving. We talked about what it was in the end of last year to be intentional, to live a life that is an intentional life before God, where things don't just drift by, where stuff just doesn't happen, it just comes and goes, and we just sort of keep going. You are making deliberate choice and deliberate action in the way that we live. And when we see the world in God's perspective, our lives take on a missional sense of living. The church should be missional. Last week, if you did not hear the message, please go online and pick it up. You can listen to the podcast. You can go simply to goodlifebudrum.com. Okay? Listen to the message last week. I talked about the inheritance that God has purposed in all of humanity. And it's a key to get the idea of what it means to live missionally, to live with intentionality, and to live with purpose. And when we talk about missional-minded living, it's not just on a global scale, it's in our everyday lives. It's about what we do individually. It's about what God has called us to as a community of believers, the outworking of the missional purpose locally through Good Life, the facility, through the outreach of people who have gone out into this nation, into our local community, and even beyond that, into the nations of the world. And we all get to participate at some level. Last week, I asked the question, what is your role? What is my role? Because if we get serious about asking God, what should we do? I guarantee you, he will not say, I just want you to sit there and do nothing. I guarantee you that if you ask God for what he would have you do, he's not going to just say, well, I've got stuff for everyone else, but you can just sit idle on the sideline. And if we're serious about being missional, there must be activity associated with it, or it's just futile thinking. We just have this idea, but we do nothing with it. All of these tables here represent opportunity to do something, and they're not the only things. They just happen to be things that we're associated with, whether it be through prayer. I just saw two people I wasn't expecting to see, Richie and Aunt. You got so good to see you. But missional living, it's about what we do to exercise what the Lord has spoken in the context of the kingdom and this earth. The truth is, from this scripture here, as you go on from verse 10 and onwards, there are churches who care and churches who couldn't care less. In fact, Paul says, the opportunity was there, but there wasn't one other gathering of believers that came to my aid, only you. So the fact is, there are churches who care and there are churches who don't care. Honestly, they're not going to get involved. Pretty happy doing the local social thing, coming together on a Sunday, but I don't personally believe that's what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about activity that transforms our community and transforms this earth for the sake of God and his glory. So the question is for us, personally, because we're all a part of a church, do we even care? Only you can answer that. And if we care, what are we doing about it? There's a couple of verses when I was reading through Philippians 4 that we know and probably quote in our lives fairly readily. People like verses of promise and verses of hope. And in Philippians 4, there's a couple. I hear them quoted. One is Philippians 4, verse 9. And it just says, the end of it, it says, the peace of God will be with you. And sometimes when we pray, God, let your peace be with me. God, let your peace come upon me. But when I was reading it, it's actually contextual and conditional. It was interesting. You read back a little bit, and the whole instruction before that is get your mind in order. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, whatever's excellent or praiseworthy, think about it. Whatever you've learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Do something. And the God of peace will be with you. And the God of peace will be with you. Get your mind in order with him. Get our actions in order with him. And the God of peace will be with us. And when we're distressed and we're freaking out and we're worried and we're overwhelmed, first question I would ask is, where's our mind been? And secondly, where have our activities been? Because it would look to me in Philippians chapter 4 that the scripture says there, get your mind in order, get your actions in order, and the peace of God will be with you. That's why Paul says, I'm not worried about having or not having. Number one, I've learned what it is to be content. But it reminds me of John chapter 4 in the beginning, where Jesus is with the Samaritan woman and the disciples have gone off and got food, and they bring food back to Jesus and they're urging him to eat something. And he goes, you know what? I've got food that you can't even comprehend. We talked about this last Sunday night in the evening gathering, and they're sort of worrying, going, man, someone else slipped him a sandwich or, you know, gave him some food while we weren't here. And they completely miss the point that Jesus is saying, I am completely satisfied in doing the work of my Father. And whether I've got a sandwich or not, or whether I've got a snack that you've just bought me or not, or whether I have provision or whether I don't, I am satisfied in the kingdom work. And if you were here when we heard Jason Litzo speak, or if you've heard others come and share their heart, man, there's this urgency and deep gratification and fulfillment in being about what God's called us to be about. And there are so many people that want to get life in order so that they can then do something for God, and it is completely the other way around. Get our minds and our lives in order, and you will know the satisfaction and the contentment and the fulfillment of Christ within you. It's an upside down kingdom. It doesn't work the way that we think it would work. And verse 19 is another scripture that people know and we hear quoted, and there's songs that quote it. Says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful and true scripture. But what's the context of it? Well, the context of it is all the verses before. It says, it was good of you to share with me in my troubles. When no one else was there to give, you were there with me. You sent me aid again and again when I was in need. I wasn't looking for a gift, but what I'm looking for is what might be accredited to your account. What Paul's saying here, there's something when we engage in it that God credits something to the believer's account, to the participant, to the engaged, the one who's doing it. You may not understand it. I don't understand it fully. But Paul then says, these offerings, they're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. What's the context of it? Participation, and God meets you. Participate. Get our mind in order, get our lives in order, and we don't just get to quote these verses out of context. That is response to our listening to God's word and obeying it and doing something. Verse 10 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but there wasn't an opportunity to show it. That doesn't let us off the hook, because there's not an opportunity to show it. To walk out of here today without a prayer card or some information would be to bury our head in the sand, to get it down and make a beeline for that door so we can get out of here. There is opportunity all around us to be engaged, whether it is locally, participating in what's going on in Good Life here, or in other community groups around us, whether it be Fusion or Youth with a Mission or prayer groups that are here, things that are happening right in our neighborhoods, or whether it be to be involved in our nation and look at what the Logans are doing over there up in Arnhem Land, and or talk with someone about the Turners and see what they're doing, and or else maybe it's to go a little further afield. Maybe it's the Pacific region. Maybe it's the Africas. Maybe it's up in the Asias or in Europe. But we don't get to just get off the hook. You know, local mission, I was pretty overwhelmed. We were just looking at Good Life visits. We were going through, just looking how many people came through in the first 6 weeks of this year. And this does not include Sunday morning attendance. Okay? This is first 6 weeks of this year. This includes pool, swim school, gym, classes. Doesn't include computer club, which is about 100 or so a week. Doesn't include first aid classes, which are often, you know, 40 a week. Doesn't include people that come just coffee casual. Intentional visits to this center, 13,560 in 6 weeks. Wednesday morning, I drove in here and there were cars parked on the grass both sides of the driveway. On the hill, there was not a parking spot to be found. 13,000 visits through that front door, not including cafe, not including Sundays, not including the Friday night kids club and cafe meal that happens. That's the missional part here. You know, I don't hound offerings. In fact, I don't, if you're visiting and you hear me talking about offerings, don't go, there's the church again talking about money. If this is your first time here, forget that if it's in your head, because that's not the heart. This is about intentional living. And to see that sort of thing continue through Good Life, we do, as a gathering of believers, subsidize with our offerings as an intentional, missional outreach to this community. That's what we do. But we also want to see the impact in this earth. We want to see the kingdom advance. I want to see lives blessed. Last week we talked about it, and if you'd please get the message. Let me remind you again, goodlifebudrum.com, and listen to it. I talked about the blessing that God spoke about to Abraham and to the children of Abraham, and that we are part of that. But my fear is that we now build reservoirs more than pipelines. And I don't want to go back over all that. I want to challenge us to open our eyes, to get our minds in order, to get our activities following right on the heels of it. When you walk around here and look at the tables, that you will see these global boards, Oceania, Africa, Asia, Europe. And you'll see on there people that we're praying with or financially supporting, and you have the opportunity to engage with. Sometimes people ask the question, what's the greater investment? Is it local or is it global? Are we having, you know, is there more effect that we have there? Is there more need in these dark corners? I would just say this as I'm wrapping up. The worth of the person is the same, whether it be in our neighborhood here or if it be on a garbage dump in the Philippines. It was the same cross for both. And it's important to understand that. What we have to be about is the intentional communication of the kingdom of God and do what we are called to do. If you are called to go to a garbage dump in the Philippines or rescue children in Africa or in Cambodia or Vietnam or wherever else, do it. If you are called to local, if you are called to the farm communities, to the drought-stricken areas, if you're called to be a part of Good Life team, if you're called to serve in creche, or you're called in your local workplace, do it. Because it was the same cross that Christ hung on for all. And it doesn't end when we pray a prayer to be saved. It begins. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is noble, think on these things. Whatever's excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, let that occupy your mind. and then do something about it. Put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. And where we have opportunity to bless, let us bless. Where we have opportunity to give, let us give. Where we have opportunity to see the kingdom advance, let it advance. And where we can bring relief and aid to another, let us bring relief and aid to another. And then my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And to our God and Father be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And I'm not going to take any more time than that. That might be the shortest message you've ever heard me speak. But the reason is, I want you to take a hold of the simplicity of the truths of Philippians chapter 4 and make a choice. What are we going to do with it? I want to see the world affected. Why? Because my own life was affected. Because of Jesus, my life was changed. And that's what I want to see in this earth. Life and hope and peace and reconciliation with God through Christ our Lord. And I want to participate. And I pray that you find a place where you will as well. Father, I just ask you simply that you would stir our hearts with truth. God, your word says to set our minds on things that are good and true and valuable, praiseworthy, excellent. And whatever we've heard, put it into practice. And then, God, you say that in that your peace will be with us. And Father, so often we worry about that stuff. And we worry about the activity. We worry about what to do. But, Lord, that's where you say your peace engages us. And I pray that we would not be overwhelmed with the things of this world around us, that we would not be overcome and feel inadequate or feel unable to do anything or accomplish anything. I pray that we would know your peace. And Father, I thank you that there is need and that there is opportunity for us to engage in very practical ways. Lord, whether it be to pray, or whether it be to encourage, or whether it be to serve, or whether it be to network, or whether it be to administer, or whether it be to go. God, I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts and our eyes that we would engage with you. Father, I want to pray specifically for our missional partners all over this globe, that they would know your strength and they would know your encouragement, but Lord, also they would know your hand of provision. And Father, where there is opportunity, I pray that would come through us, that we would be a family who care. I pray that it would not be held to account of us that where there was opportunity, we did nothing. Lord, you know the people that Paul wrote of back in the day where he wrote to the Philippians. Lord, you know the hearts of those churches, but you also search the heart of this church, and I know it true. And Father, I do ask you just simply examine our own hearts. And God, as we continue to have favor in this community, and Lord, as it's continued to grow, and Father, as our family gathering on a Sunday morning continues to grow, I ask that you would guard our hearts toward one another. Lord, you would guard our hearts in relation to the gospel, that we would not become complacent, that we would continue to be gentle, that we would continue to give reason for the hope that we have, that we would continue to live out the fullness of the grace of Christ. And God, that your kingdom would advance with power. And I honor you and I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for the ministry of Good Life. I thank you for the many folk that come through the doors of this center. I thank you for the many that speak of the presence of peace and strength in this place, but I also pray that it would not end with just a feeling, but they would come to the knowledge of salvation in Jesus. Thanks for this morning. Thanks again for Bonnie and Rory and the team that have put so much effort in. And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad for you, Nathan. Sometimes I think I love Nathan's willingness to just respond to. We're going to sing just a verse. What do you got? I surrender. What a great song to finish after that message, eh? If you don't want to sing it, meditate.